Well, hey, Sean. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So have you noticed how recently, every time we sit down to come up with an intro for the podcast, it seems like we pretty much just come back around to some variation on the same exact theme, where we're just like, oh my goodness, 2020, there is so much news going on, how are we going to cover it? This week is the absolute craziest.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a definite theme of that, but, you know, in our defense, 2020 has been kind of one of those years.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, though, and say that this week might actually be that week.
I think you might be right. I mean, let's review some of the news. So the president was going to hold campaign rallies in Wisconsin in two of the state's coronavirus hotspots. But
both of those rallies were canceled because the president has been diagnosed with COVID-19.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin's COVID-19 cases are as high as they've ever been since the pandemic began and among the highest in the nation.
And on top of all of that, there are several lawsuits moving forward about voting for the upcoming election, and we're trying to keep track of all of them.
Yeah, see, this week I just don't even know where to start. But it is certainly something to podcast about, and this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week. So like we said in the intro, and like we seem to be saying every single week nowadays, there is a whole bunch of stuff for us to get to, but I think that it can sort of be broken down into two general categories this week, the coronavirus and voting stuff. Do we want to start with maybe the more breaking news surrounding the coronavirus?
Yeah, let's start with what we know as we record this podcast here. Also, I do want to kind of preemptively admonish us for assuming like this week is the big news week of 2020. It looks like we've learned nothing, and we should probably understand that next week will be a bigger news week, and the week after that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
we're just setting ourselves up for a really good about that thing we said episode.
Oof. Oh, my. So, okay, let's talk about this week's developments in, you know, the president's visit and COVID-19. You know, anybody who has any kind of news on has seen the news about the president testing positive for COVID-19. Wisconsin's rallies are not happening. Before that news happened, there was a lot of pushback from mayors in those cities asking the president not to come.
Yeah, before the president tested positive, there was some drama going on ahead of these rallies that were supposed to be this weekend, right?
So the president's rallies were set to be held in La Crosse and Green Bay, and there was actually a last-minute change where the La Crosse rally was switched to Janesville. There had been, as Sean mentioned, some really high-profile pushback from the mayor of La Crosse asking the president not to come there because of the COVID-19 situation in the city. And, you know, they didn't acknowledge that that's why they moved to Janesville, but that was certainly part of the conversation yesterday. And that kind of tees us up to talk about just a big development in Wisconsin this week, which is that, you know, these hotspots that we have around the state are really bad. And the situation for the virus is definitely the worst that it has been since the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think people probably get weary hearing COVID-19 statistics because it's been a year. But the statistics right now are seriously horrible in Wisconsin. I mean, if you look at Wisconsin as a state, and these things change quickly, they may be different by the time you hear this podcast, but Wisconsin is third in the nation in new cases of COVID-19. behind, and that's third actual behind California and Texas, who have much larger populations than we do. Wisconsin is also third in new cases per capita, behind the Dakotas. But no matter how you slice that, it's bad. If you look at our hospitalization statistics, which we referenced last week as getting bad, they are breaking new records all the time. Like, the chart is just, you know, there's like this line just shooting straight up right now if you look at these things on a chart. And that is our current state of hospitalization. We've had, you know, we broke a single day death record for COVID-19 cases. And, you know, I listened to this conference call with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and Mark Kaufman, the chief medical officer of the Wisconsin Hospital Association this week. They invited him to come on and speak to their members. And I've never heard a more dire warning during this whole year, probably, than I heard from Mark Kaufman. So we don't do this too often, but maybe we should just play a little quote from Mark Kaufman at this event where he was talking about what happens if things don't change in Wisconsin right now.
There will be more patients and more Wisconsin citizens critically ill with COVID-19. There will be more hospitalizations and pinch points with hospital resources, and more of us will die in Wisconsin from COVID-19. There will be a delay in the care of patients with conditions that are not COVID-19. I believe that the economy will worsen as we all have to hunker down even further. There will be more business failures and more personal financial failures.
And I mean, he went on. Here's a point that he made that really struck me, is that even if everybody behaved perfectly for the next couple weeks, our hospitalization statistics are going to go up because COVID-19 is so widespread right now. So, you know, why did the state lock down back in March and April? It was to slow the spread, to prevent the overwhelming of the hospital system. We're teetering toward overwhelming the hospital system in some parts of the state now. So that's pretty dire.
So as things have been getting increasingly bad here, what has been sort of the political response to it? What have we been seeing and hearing from leaders?
I mean, broadly speaking, not much. Tony Evers has said you need to wear a mask, you need to socially distance, you know, you need to do these steps, people of Wisconsin, that we know can slow the spread of COVID-19. But this is coming from the Evers administration, themselves. They're saying like they're essentially relying on people's goodwill and word of mouth now, that they don't have, in their words, like the tools that they had back in March and April because of the May Supreme Court ruling that struck down safer at home, that, you know, closed bars, restaurants, other businesses. So what they have done, the Evers administration has issued a mask mandate across Wisconsin, but it's not like there's penalties for it. You know, there's got to be kind of buy-in at the citizen level. And in some places there is. In some places, obviously, there's not. So as far as like what state government is doing, has there been a moment where Tony Evers and Republican leaders have come out and said, here's what we're going to do? Certainly not. No. I mean, Tony Evers has said like he hasn't talked to Republicans. He doesn't think they'd support anything they do. I mean, I emailed the leaders this week, the Speaker of the Assembly, the Senate Majority Leader, asked their offices if they think there's anything the state needs to be doing. If so, what? If not, why not? Didn't hear back from them. And if you look just kind of on Twitter, some of our more outspoken lawmakers have been kind of quiet on COVID-19 this week. So that's the status in Wisconsin. We have a very uncertain framework for how to regulate this thing because it's been kind of bumped to local governments, but local governments feel like they can't enforce any orders for fear of being sued.
I think it's kind of interesting to note too, two things. One, you mentioned, you know, there's really no enforcement mechanism for the mask mandate. There's no penalty. Technically, there is a $200 penalty, but law enforcement aren't enforcing that across the state. And the other thing I want to mention is that, you know, you talked about the Wisconsin Hospital Association meeting with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and having this really dire warning. Well, the Wisconsin Hospital Association was the group that at least Speaker Voss mentioned that he was really in touch with and listening to at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of, you know, how to gauge where the state was. And so the fact that they are issuing this strong warning right now, you know, if the speaker is still in touch with them and gauging kind of their position on things, and that's important to him and informs any action, it's interesting that, you know, we haven't heard anything from him about that, that we haven't gotten any statements and you didn't get any response.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely right. Earlier in the year, as other COVID metrics would go up, that was the Republican response that, like, you really need to watch hospitalization. And I think there's some truth to that. Hospitalization statistics for COVID are telling. Mm-hmm. Well, they're bad now. They're telling a bad story right now. And we're not seeing people change, really. And I don't know what the state is going to do. Like, what could the state do? It hasn't even been discussed, really. Like, the state could go back to some kind of a limited shutdown of certain businesses where that best evidence we have shows that transmission is higher. But nobody's talking about that. The governor still has the power under state law, affirmed by the state Supreme Court. He can shut down schools if he wants to. But he has said, look, that's not where transmission is happening. This is community-wide now, and schools are doing a good job. He said repeatedly he's not going to shut them down. I still think, hey, 2020, ask in another week, see what the situation is. It might be different. That's where he's at right now.
So closing schools is the one thing that the state Supreme Court affirmed that the governor has the power to do. But they said that broader shutdowns, you know, don't fall within his purview, that that's something that needs to go through the legislative rulemaking process. And at the time in the spring, when the governor's safer at home order was struck down, Republican leaders who have the control of the rulemaking process said, you know, we really don't think that, you know, shutdown is necessary right now. If things get markedly worse in terms of COVID-19, then we will readdress things. And it just makes me wonder, sort of, like, things right now in Wisconsin are much worse than they were at that point. So what is the threshold for things being bad for the state to take some sort of additional action?
And we never got an answer on that at the time, and we still don't have one. There was never any specific threshold that was shared as, you know, this is, once we cross this point, this is when we're going to take action to do more statewide things. And we're definitely not getting any new insight into that now.
And real quick, before we move on, as we've been recording this podcast, there has been some news breaking about state Republican lawmakers filing a legal action against the governor's mask mandate.
Yeah, so we've talked about this case. The lawsuit was filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty against the mask mandate. Their argument is that the governor can't file two emergency declarations for essentially the same emergency without going to the legislature. You know, so far he's been able to do that. He used those emergencies to issue the statewide mask mandate, but now Republican legislative leaders are jumping into that case, and they filed a motion in court seeking to block the mask mandate, arguing that the governor doesn't have that authority.
Well, there you go. Even more news to report happening this week. So I guess shifting gears now, away from coronavirus towards the other major category of stories we've been covering, which would be the ongoing legal happenings surrounding election policy in Wisconsin before the upcoming November election. And we've talked about this on some recent podcasts, but we have a bunch more updates to share with you.
So I'm going to start with this and definitely ask for some assists from Sean, because there were so many things that happened this week with the federal lawsuit that's moving forward that was brought by the National Democratic Party, Wisconsin Democrats, and a coalition of advocacy groups to change some election laws in Wisconsin because of the pandemic. So the biggest things that this would do would be to extend the number of days that clerks can accept absentee ballots in Wisconsin as long as they're postmarked by election day, and then also extending the deadline for online voter registration in Wisconsin. So last week, I can't believe it was last week, but I'm pretty confident that it was last week, a federal judge ruled in the case granting those extensions. What has happened since then is that his decision has been appealed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. And this week, really the action, and there were several things that happened, as I mentioned, all has to do with the Seventh Circuit and whether it would hear arguments in the case, whether it would agree to, you know, continue staying the lower court's ruling, to continue putting that lower court ruling on hold, and who from the Seventh Circuit might hear it. So basically, you know, there's a difference in the three-judge panel of the Seventh Circuit and then the, how do you say it, Sean, en banc?
En banc, yep.
En banc, which is everybody.
Chef's kiss. Sacre bleu.
So the evolution of this week was they vacated their stay of the lower court's ruling, which basically allowed the lower court's extensions of these deadlines to go into effect. And the big deal, kind of the big part of their decision, was that they found that actually the Republican legislature doesn't have standing to bring a case like this. Which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and judging based on what the lawyer for Republicans filed next, they don't like that finding. And I mean, it was filed by Misha Saitlin, the former Solicitor General in Wisconsin, who's Wisconsin's one and only Solicitor General under former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Misha Saitlin now handles all the big election stuff for Wisconsin Republicans. And he's basically telling the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, these three judges who were appointed, who were nominated by Republican presidents, hey, you actually just got it wrong. Here's what the Supreme Court said in Wisconsin. So yes, we do have the authority to bring this case. And then the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals responds to that almost immediately, just denies their next motion. And now Misha Saitlin is trying to get this heard in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They want them to take it up on an original action. I guess I don't know how that would work. Okay. You're asking the state Supreme Court to say that a federal court got it wrong in its reading of whether or not Republicans had standing in this case.
I think the thing is here is that the Republican legislature is asking the state Supreme Court to clarify a ruling that was cited in the Seventh Circuit's ruling that has to do with whether they have standing. And it has to do with an interpretation of a lame duck law that was passed that gives everybody following.
I know, but what are they going to do? Let's say the Supreme Court, a 4-3 conservative majority, comes back and says, yeah, you know, actually, Seventh Circuit, you got it wrong. Is Judge Frank Easterbrook, who's been on the bench there forever and takes no guff from nobody. Is he going to be like, oh, shucks, sorry. I don't know. there is good personalities at play here, too. And I also wonder, if Republicans don't get their way at the Seventh Circuit level or in the state Supreme Court, Did they fire it on up to the U.S. Supreme Court then? I don't know. It's getting confusing on the standing issue.
It's getting confusing. Yeah. Well, I think it's worth noting that, so the thing that we're waiting on right now is the Republican request for the en banc hearing, which is everybody on the Seventh Circuit. We haven't heard about that yet, right? As of right now.
We're going to need a future John update for this segment because, like, yes, you're waiting on what happens with the en banc appeal and what happens with the petition for original action in the state Supreme Court. Is this a good time to just throw it to future John for an update on those? Present John, would that be okay? You don't mind?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. Future John, knower of all things future, what the heck is going on with the court cases on this voting stuff?
From the future, I'm Future John. Friday night, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals sent a letter to the Wisconsin Supreme Court asking it to weigh in on whether the legislature has standing to appeal the absentee ballot case. The Seventh Circuit said it needed an answer by no later than October 7th. The state Supreme Court issued an order Friday agreeing to hear the case. Briefs are due Monday. Now back to Sean John and Laurel in the not-too-distant past.
Thanks, Future John. Honestly, I'm still a little confused, but thanks for the update. So I guess the bottom line, as we record this podcast, that 6-day extension for counting absentee ballots is in effect. That is happening, unless Future John just told us something different. So what else are we watching in the courts?
Well, the other stuff that we're watching in the courts are two state cases that heard arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court this week. One of those is the voter purge case that we've talked about at length on the podcast. This would remove up to about 130,000 people from voter rolls in Wisconsin. Has to do with that list of people that have potentially moved in the state or out of state. Republicans say that the State Elections Commission hasn't been moving quickly enough to remove those people from the list. Right now, the commission's giving itself about 2 years if people don't respond to this mailing that they get. The arguments this week in the Supreme Court were really interesting because it kind of came down to Attorney General Josh Call, who was arguing on behalf of the commission, basically saying the Elections Commission doesn't have the authority to remove people from the voter rolls, that is something that local election officials in Wisconsin have purview over. It's always interesting to see how, you know, legal arguments play out in this in this sort of thing. So that was kind of their major argument there, which was really interesting. And we'll just have to keep an eye on it. I think one thing to note that's really important about this case is that a lot of people have said they don't think that the Supreme Court is going to rule before the November 3rd election, just kind of because of the timeline that we're working under. So we just had arguments this week, you know, just kind of how these things typically play out. We should absolutely note that it's very possible that they could rule before the election. They sometimes rule very quickly on things. We saw them do that in April before the presidential primary. They moved really quickly to rule on something. So it is, according to conventional wisdom and people that talk about this, not likely, but it's definitely possible that those people could be removed from voter rolls in Wisconsin before November. Also important to note that you can register to vote at the polls, though. So if people are removed, they do have the ability to register on election day. They just have to have the right documents with them to do that.
And while we're on the topic of the state Supreme Court, there was one other case that you listened to arguments in this week, right, Laurel? Also somewhat about voting?
Yeah, that's right. So this one stemmed from some guidance that Dane County Clerk Scott McDonnell actually put on Facebook ahead of the April primary. And it was guidance that he issued that has to do with being an indefinitely confined voter in Wisconsin. So if you check on your absentee ballot application, so not the ballot itself, but the thing that you send in to apply to get an absentee ballot, a mail-in ballot, you can check if you're indefinitely confined, which means, you know, you're not leaving your home because of a condition, a medical limitation. You don't need to include a copy of your valid voter ID, your photo ID that qualifies as a voter ID in Wisconsin. And McDonnell said that people who were housebound during the COVID-19 pandemic qualified as indefinitely confined. They could check that box. They wouldn't need to send in the copy of their ID. And that was fine moving forward. Now, McDonnell has since acknowledged that that guidance was overly broad. That was something that Republicans had a big problem with as soon as they saw that he was issuing that guidance. They said that it was, you know, him basically trying to give people kind of like a blank check to just bypass Wisconsin's voter ID requirement. What this lawsuit is looking to do, and it was brought by the Republican Party of Wisconsin, is to have the state Supreme Court clarify what it means to be an indefinitely confined voter and who meets those criteria so they can check that box and bypass the requirement, request a mail-in ballot without, you know, having to have the ID included. So that's, you know, it just basically affects who can request a ballot in this certain way. And so that's something that folks are keeping an eye on, is obviously a lot of people are engaging with the mail-in ballot process for this election in a way that they haven't before.
Well, I guess we can just leave it there for this week and assume that next week is going to be even crazier.
Nah, probably slow news weeks from here on out, more I think about
it. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yep.
Easy peasy. Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you'd like to hear us talk about how crazy this week was almost every single week, then you should subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. And while you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And you can listen back to weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of past episodes anytime you feel like it by going to wpr.org/politicspodcast.